Good morning once more. We're glad to have you here at Central with us today. We're going to look at Psalm 61. It's not the psalm that's printed in your bulletin. Dan will cover Psalm 73 at a later date, but Psalm 61 is going to be our text today. I was recently reflecting on a chilling story that was ripped from the headlines about a major public figure who also happened to be a musician. And whenever he felt like his life was going poorly and he got down on himself, he wrote a song to express how he felt about his life. This leader, this public figure's life was genuinely a mess. He led a very large organization, had several sons who not only wanted to be in the business with him, but wanted to depose dad and lead the business themselves. He had been married a few times, and the family was blended, only it didn't blend so well. Their sons from the different marriages didn't get along, and they were filled with rivalry. The real trouble started with the oldest son. He was a real scoundrel. He was pretty selfish and had dysfunction in his life, dysfunction related to intimacy. And one instance of that, he took a liking to his stepsister and began to abuse her. And on one instance, he violently abused her and then publicly shamed her about it. And what was worse, the father did really nothing to discipline this son. No authorities were called, no real consequences for his life. The father just swept it under the rug and hoped that it would all go away. You can imagine how well this would go over in a small town. This girl's other brother began to plot revenge. And it took him about 2 years to come up with exactly the right plan. And day after day, seeing his brother get away with this treachery without any punishment. And this brother finally brought his plan to fruition. He brutally took his brother's life. But this time, the father did do something about it. He disowned his son, this second son, and told him he didn't ever want to see him again. He banished him from the life of the family. And while this son was wandering the streets and the father mourning the loss of his oldest son, what the boy decided to do was to begin to plot to take over his father's organization. He began to recruit some of his father's closest friends, some of his advisors, some of the confidants of his father, and together they worked on a plan to kick dad out. It was a hostile takeover that succeeded. Dad was moved out, had to move out of the office, had to move to a different town out of shame. He had to fear for his life, for what his son might do. He had already seen this son kill his brother. To make matters worse, this father had one of his best friends. He was a vice president with him in his organization, and he left town with this man. What else was he going to do? But this man had a twisted sense of loyalty and began to plot his own hostile takeover. He set a plan in motion to trap the son. And sadly, this vice president, this trusted best friend, murdered the second son. And the father really didn't try to cover it up. The friend didn't try to cover it up. This man had seen this father not react to illegal activity, immoral activity over and over again. What did he really have to fear? So with no one at the helm, this man, this leader, this grieving father determined it was time for him to get back in the saddle. In the midst of so much grief and so much loss and so much pain, he was going to take back his organization. But can you imagine his loneliness? His two oldest sons dead, one of them at the hand of his best friend. His whole life a wreck. His organization is shambles. The employees didn't know who to trust. They didn't know who to think. They didn't know who was in charge. But in the midst of all of this heartbreak and all of this fear and isolation and loneliness, he still had one thing. He still had his music. So this leader, as he's going back to town to take back charge of his organization, he wrote a song. And the song for us is Psalm 61. This is how it goes. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then will I ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes to see the truth of your word. Help us to see Jesus enthroned. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As you've no doubt discerned by now, this leader whose life was in such shambles was none other than King David. He was called the best king of Israel. He was the standard against which all the other kings in the Bible are held, but he's not some far-off Bible character. Someone who is so different from us. He was a man who had real problems like we face today. It is a life, David's life was one you might find on the 10 o'clock news. It's familiar territory. It was in David's journey back to Jerusalem to sit on his throne that he wrote this song. The story is recorded for us in 2 Samuel, the middle chapters, especially in chapter 17 and 18, and an inscription of the psalm that we have leads us to believe this was the context in which David wrote this psalm. His sons, Amnon and Absalom, had been killed. His kingdom was a wreck. He was heartbroken. He was overwhelmed. He was deeply lonely and sad and distressed. What would you expect the king of God's people to say when he writes a song in that kind of context? It's a song of sadness, a lament, but there's also great hope in the midst of this song. As you hear it, some of you today may be having trouble with your own children. Some of you may feel isolated. You may feel alone from the trouble in your family or the trouble in your workplace. Some of you may even wonder whether God exists. And if he does exist, does he care about me? Does he care about my pain and my loneliness? The truth of the Psalms in general, and this Psalm in particular, is that God calls us to come to him, to talk to him, even to cry out to him in the midst of desperation. Even when we feel like not coming to the Lord, he calls us to come into his presence and open our hearts, expose our hearts and our lives to him so that we might find healing. How did David feel in the midst of all of his troubles? Well, verse 2 tells us he felt lonely. He thought that he was at the ends of the earth. He was far from home. He was in the desert. He was hiding. And no matter that he had friends with him, he felt like God was a million miles away. You may feel like that today because of the trouble in your life. Also, he felt faint. It says. Another way to understand that word is he was overwhelmed. Life was just too much for him. There were too many troubles coming in quick succession like waves crashing over his life. It was like he was caught in the surf of the ocean and the waves just kept pounding him again and again, and the salt water was in his eyes and he couldn't see his life clearly anymore. What would he do to be able to see life clearly? David asked the Lord, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." His only hope was to climb up onto a rock out of the sea so that he could see just enough to see what God is doing in his life, to have a little bit of clarity about what's going on. Do you ever feel like that? Like you've almost lost hope? Like the things in your life, the tragedies in your life, the difficulties continue to pound you over and over again. It can lead to incredible loneliness and fear and desperation. What will you do with it? David wrote a song and called us into the presence of God, worshiped the Lord in the midst of those emotions. What will you do? Will you come with him before the presence of God, before the face of God, and expose your heart to him? See, it is in moments like these when we feel lonely and isolated and afraid, and all the things that we draw strength from in our lives are conspicuously absent. It is those moments when God's presence seems so much clearer to us. Samuel Rutherford, the great Scottish theologian, said this: "The high king of heaven keeps his finest wine in the cellar of affliction." The high king of heaven keeps his finest wine in the cellar of affliction. In the midst of difficulty in our lives, in the midst of pain and tragedy, the Lord draws near to us. He shows us his power, shows us his majesty, and shows us his might. And he invites us to come to him in confidence. Not because he promises to make everything better in the short term. Not because our circumstances are going to change for the better in the short term. But because he is with us. Because God dwells with us in the midst of hard times and difficulties and doubt. Where did David draw strength in the midst of his life? He shows us three places in the rest of this psalm. He had confidence and he drew strength from the truth that God protects his children, that God provides for his people, and he preserves us as his heritage. First of all, we draw strength because God protects his people. Look again at verse 3. He says, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe." Towers were important in the ancient world. They would be set in city walls so that soldiers could stand in the middle of a tower and rain down blows on the enemy who would lay siege to the city. And that tower was the key to staying alive for so many of these soldiers. They were inside the tower. They were protected by the tower. It was an impregnable force for these arrows to bounce off, the flaming arrows to come, and the soldiers would be protected. But did you notice that the image that David uses is not that God placed him in a tower to be defended, but that God himself has been David's tower. In the midst of David's grief and his loss and his pain, David is reminding himself that God has wrapped himself around David to protect him and care for him. God didn't put him in a place of stones, a tower of stones, but the all-powerful, all-loving, all-wise, kind, and compassionate God has himself become David's tower, a place where he could retreat, a place where he could be safe and be defended by his Lord, to be protected against the foe, against the enemy who would attack his life. But when you look at David's life, I don't think any of us would say that he was protected by being spared from heartache and spared from pain. He lost two sons. He had innumerable other challenges, other pains, other difficulties in his life. The rescue from going through hard stuff is not what it means to be protected by God. It must mean something else. I think what it means to be protected by God is that the worst thing can't happen. And by the worst thing, we mean being abandoned by God. You see, David was a soldier, and the worst thing in a soldier's mind is not to be killed in battle. The worst thing in the mind of a soldier is to be left behind, about to be isolated, to be abandoned by his friends, by his fellow comrades. And spiritually speaking, what God wants us to know is that he will not abandon us. He is our tower to wrap himself around his children and protect us. And by knowing that the worst thing can't happen, being abandoned by God cannot happen, it is that truth that gives us the strength to face the circumstances of our lives. No matter what's going on, no matter what else, we won't be abandoned by our God. Our heritage is really not the betterment of circumstances in the short term. Our hope is not that in the next year or two, everything will get better. That's not our ultimate hope as God's people. Our hope is that we have an inalienable inheritance, and that inheritance is God himself, that he will provide for us, he will protect us, he will guard our souls against the attacks of the devil, the one who would seek to steal our lives. The Lord says, no, you are protected because the Lord Jesus Christ has wrapped himself around us so that the wounds that would last in eternity cannot affect us. The Lord Jesus Christ lived in our place. He died in our place so that he took upon himself the alienation and the abandonment of God. And you and I, as his children, will never experience being abandoned by our Father because Jesus has done it in our place. Are you here today feeling lonely, feeling afraid, feeling weak? needing to be protected by someone, look to the Lord Jesus, who wraps himself around you like a strong tower. And he will guard your life from the accuser, from the avenger, from the one who would seek to destroy your soul. And he will protect you for all eternity because Jesus died for you. David drew strength, not because circumstances would get better. David grew strength because he knew that the Lord protected him from the worst thing, being abandoned. It can't happen. The Lord not only protects his people, but he provides for his people. And some of you may be thinking here this morning, that's great. I'm glad that the Lord protects me, that Jesus has surrounded me so that I will not be abandoned by God, but I need something more. I'm lonely in this world. No one really knows me. I have no sense of family. Really bad things continue to happen in my life. And I need some help here and now, Lord. What does God have to say about that? Some of you here may be married and you feel all alone in your house. You're lost in your own home and you feel like nobody knows you or really cares to know you. There are huge issues between your family members and you just have lost the ability to talk to one another anymore. Perhaps your family's decimated. You've dealt with death. You've dealt with abandonment and you feel all alone. What does the Lord have to say to you in that circumstance? Look at verse 4. David prayed, "I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." David is saying along with us, "Lord, I need to be in a safe family because my family feels unsafe." He's asking, "Lord, I want to be in your presence, in your tent, tabernacled together with you as a welcomed family member." He's saying, "Lord, what is going to make sense of my life is not that the bad circumstances go away. What will make sense of my life is if I'm dwelling with you. If I'm not rejected from your presence, but I'm welcomed into your presence." David knew the presence of the king, the real king, the powerful king, the God who is king. And that king brought him into his family, into his tent, into his presence. And then David changes metaphors for us. He asks not only to dwell in the tent of the Lord forever, but to take refuge in the shelter of the Lord's wings, like a bird under the shelter of his mother's wings, where it's warm and where it's safe and where it's okay to let your guard down and know you're surrounded, you're protected, you're covered by the one who loves you and who knows you. I can't think of a better illustration of being found in the shelter of the wings of God than the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. You know the story perhaps pretty well. There was a son who had squandered his wealth. He was paramount to asking his father to go ahead and die so that I may have my inheritance that's coming for me. And he took all of these resources and wasted them. He squandered them in his wild living. And then one day he realized what he had done. He came to his senses and came back to his father. And you know how the story goes. It says that the father, from a long way off, saw him and ran out to him, which was an undignified thing for a father to do in those days. He would have to kind of pull up his robe so that he could get some speed up as he's running. And it's an undignified thing for this man to do. But he ran toward his son. And when he got there, it says that he kissed him. And a better way to translate it is that he kissed him up. He just filled this boy up with love and affection. Just think the picture of when the Cardinals won this World Series the last time as the last player comes across home plate and all of the players join them in the middle of the field and they're jumping and they're hugging and they're just so exuberant at winning the World Series. His father kissed him up with that kind of affection. And then it says that he embraced his son. Imagine what that must have felt like for that boy in that story. To have been the rebellious, wild son, to squander the good name of his family, and yet come back and see his father embrace him. What must it have felt like to be in the arms of his father who loved him, who could have told him, "I told you so," who could have given him a lecture, but instead the Son received an embrace. That, friends, is being under the shelter of the wings of our God. As He spreads Himself out over us to love us, to protect us, to guard us. In the Lord's tent, under the Lord's wings, it is a safe place to stop achieving, to stop churning, to stop proving ourselves, to stop dealing with life as if we are all on our own and all we have is self-sufficiency. In the Lord's family, we come to know that we are loved, we are cared for. It is in this place where we realize we do not have to be alone again. We are welcomed by a Father who loves us. Our Father handed Christ over to death so that we might be in His family forever. Our debt has been paid. The thing that separates us from our Father has been dealt with, and He has brought us into His family. And if we have trusted Christ, if we have repented of our sins and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, there is nothing that can take that away from you. Nothing can take the love of Christ away from you if you have repented and turned to the Lord. Are you lonely? Are you afraid? Do you feel like you are a person who needs to be protected today? Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is provided for you in the family of God. And you can experience that in part here. You know, this is the family of God. This is the people over whom the Lord Jesus has stretched Himself out like a tent to protect us, to tabernacle with us, to dwell with us here in this place. You can experience that family of God here. You won't experience it perfectly because we are not perfect people. Sometimes you might even feel like we don't care and we treat you poorly, but give us another shot. Because we belong to our Father, and He has put us in this family so that we are the hands and the feet of Christ in one another's lives. If you need a place to come and be broken, be wounded, and yet be healed by the grace of God, come into the family of God. Allow your brothers and sisters here to know you, to love you, to walk with you through the difficulties of life, and you will be covered with the love of God. Our Father has protected us, and He has provided for us. And finally, in our psalm, He preserves His people. Look at verse 6. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and your faithfulness to protect him. As David sang this song, he is king again after his son was murdered, and he asks for the preservation of the life of the king, which seems like a pretty good thing to ask, doesn't it? I mean, he had seen what had happened to his son, and he wanted to have his life preserved, but that's really not what David is asking here. He did see many generations from verse 6, but he asks that the king would be enthroned forever, and that's beyond the horizon of David's life. He's not really talking about himself as king. He's not being megalomaniacal here. He's asking for something different, something better. He's asking for God's people to be preserved more permanently. I think what David wants us to know is that he found that rock from verse 2. He was able to climb up and see beyond his present circumstances to see a God who preserves his people, who protects his people, even in the midst of peril, in the midst of danger. The Lord Jesus is seen by David. When he climbed up to see the Son enthroned forever from verse 7, the New Testament makes it clear that he is seeing the Lord Jesus as his ultimate Son, one who would rule like David, but better, with perfect peace, in perfect justice, with perfect mercy, in perfect faithfulness for all eternity. This Son of David who will rule forever is none other than Christ. And in the midst of his tragedy, in the midst of his pain, David asked that he would see a ruler, a faithful ruler, preserving and protecting God's people forever. And we can join our prayers together with David's, because we do have one who is on the throne forever. We do have a Lord Jesus Christ who is exalted, who is king both now and forever, as our benediction says. David's ultimate comfort in ours is not in knowing that in the short term things will be okay, that our circumstances of life will improve. In fact, for David, things were up and down the rest of his life. But on top of that metaphorical rock, he saw that even if his circumstances were to continue just as they were, there is one who sits on the throne and who rules forever. He reigns forever in kindness and compassion and in preservation of his people. Not one to come down in judgment upon his people, but in kindness, who is walking with him and dwelling with him in love each step of the way. We need a new horizon for our lives. We need to look beyond our circumstances of today and look into the future, where we see the Lord Jesus Christ returning once more as the risen, conquering King to renew this world, to renew our lives, and to set right all the wrongs in this world. And that hope, that reality of the future, can come crashing into our lives in the present and give us hope to face the difficult days of life right now. If the Lord Jesus Christ, this eternal King, rules over us by giving his life to conquer our enemies, if he's done that, won't he also be with us now in the difficult days? If the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and was raised from the dead for you, will he not draw near to us when we face challenges and difficulties and pain and fear and isolation and loneliness today? Can he not surely do that? The Lord Jesus died and was raised to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he is that friend who sits on the throne and rules the world. Can you see him there? Can you look up from the circumstances of life and see the risen, conquering Son, the King who loves you, the King who gave himself for you, and the King who will preserve your life into eternity? Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would indeed open our eyes, that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would know of his love, that we would know of his compassion and kindness, that we would know of his sovereignty in our lives, no matter what is going on. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.